Loose change.
Loose change.
Loose change.
Loose change.
I don't get it.
Bro, what the fuck is loose change?
Really? Come on, y'all. Loose change. The info you get on this show is just like loose change. You might keep it, throw it away, forget you have it, give it to someone else, or use it when you need it.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. I get it now. You're listening to the podcast Loose Change, brought to you by Renaissance Behavior and hosted by Dr. Antonio Harrison. Welcome to Loose Change. I'm Antonio. So I use this app called Shaper. And essentially what it is the way I like to describe it is Tinder mixed with LinkedIn. There's a swipe right, a swipe left for whether you want to meet someone or not. And if they match with you, then you can message with them. But it's all based off networking and business. And now I've met a few people, a lot of people trying to sell me network marketing stuff. But there are times where I meet some people where maybe something develops. Maybe it's just a friendship or a conversation. But I met a young man by the name of Liam Muir, and we had a really good conversation. And after just talking with him, you know, it popped in my mind, hey, do you want to jump on a podcast and share? And he was like, sure. I mean, I don't know what we're going to talk about. And I was like, we'll worry about that later. So with me today in studio is Liam. How you doing, Liam?
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for coming down. I asked Liam, well, what do you think you want to talk about? Think about it. Take a few days, and whatever pops in your mind that you want to have a conversation on, let's see if we can wrap a show around it. And he sent me a really interesting question that we're going to save to the end, but it was wrapped around ethical decision making. Am I right about, is that a good way to sum it up?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of that and motivation and kind of your personal thought process.
Right.
Obviously.
Okay. So I said, you know what, though? I don't want to just jump right into his question. It made me think of the ethics class that I've taught multiple times for grad school, where we would have these scenarios, and you would have to read the scenario, and then we'd have a discussion about what's the ethical thing to do. Also, disclaimer, excuse my voice. We beat the brakes off of our rival last night in high school football, and I was yelling and screaming as I was coaching, so I'm a little hoarse here today. So going back to the grad school, and when we did this, there were some great things that came out. And there's one thing I want to get your opinion on, Liam, before we get started in some of these fun scenarios, which is a huge point I had to make in grad school, the grad school classes I was teaching, was the fact that the ethical guidelines for which the organization or field in which we work in, that's different than morality. Ethics and morals, they may align at times, but they're different when you're talking profession. So, you know, what you may not morally be aligned with, your ethical guidelines may say, well, like, you still got to kind of do your work.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about your thoughts on ethics versus morals.
I think morals are more how a person represents themselves.
Okay.
And ethics are more kind of more so a line of, there's more a definitive answer of what's ethical and what's not ethical.
Gotcha. But
someone might say, hey, that's not that bad. Or like, oh, this is on, like, I don't know if I would do it, because it's a question to themselves. Whereas some people are more confident with their answers and
gotcha.
Say, or it even depends on kind of how they grew up too.
It's yeah.
kind of like how you perceive things that dictates your morals more or less.
I like that. So, and I agree, because there was a lot of times people were like, I wouldn't be comfortable with that. And I was like, well, it's not a matter of whether or not you would be comfortable. It's a matter of whether or not professionally you still have to do your job and how you would have to approach that situation, even if morally you didn't agree with it. I think we should hop right into these scenarios of ethical dilemmas I found from Psychology Today, as well as, I forget what university it was, but it was a university class. And there's some that I cut because they just weren't fucking... They weren't
worth
anything.
It.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't worth it. And I think they get a little bit harder as we go along. Nice. So let's go with the first one, where pretend you're a manager at a nonprofit. Your supervisee has been a planned giving fundraiser there for 5 years. 4 years ago, his performance was a little bit poor because he started undergoing chemotherapy. So you got an employee, does really well for the first year, but then it starts to slip downhill because he's going into chemo. Obviously, he's got cancer. Since then, it's improved to average, but in the past few months, it's declined severely again. He's raised only as half as much money as before. And he explains to you that his cancer has reoccurred and has spread to his lymph nodes. So he's in the middle of a 6-month round of chemo and his prognosis is not good. He says he prefers to keep working, but if you terminate him, he won't file a claim under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Okay.
So he's not going to get you in trouble if you terminate him. He's his family's sole provider of income.
Wow, okay.
And his nonprofit salary is modest, and he has pretty much no savings. Do you hold on to this guy, or do you let him go based off his performance?
I mean, my first thought would be, obviously, you need time to recover. That's probably the most important thing. Your health is the most important thing. So if there is a way for you to work less hours, that's my first go-to.
Ooh, I like that.
I mean, that's kind of the first thought. Obviously, that's very hard to manage, especially if you're undergoing that. I know quite a few people who had to take time off and they just had the ability to because they had the kind of support from their family or ability to do so. But I mean, my sister had Lyme disease for a long time and I saw the kind of toll it took on her going actually to Germany to get a treatment she couldn't get in the U.S.
Was that the one where they spin your own blood and put it back into your cells?
No. So she went under hyperthermia. It's they heat your body up and keep your head outside of this machine to around 107 degrees for hours.
Oh, wow.
And so they essentially burn. It's cancer treatment also. It's a cancer and Lyme specialist place, but they heat it up and burn it out of you essentially. And she's been one of three patients that her doctor has sent to this place. Both the other patients that were sent relapsed after, I think, 8 months. And she's now over a year and a half symptom free.
Nice. Nice. Okay. So back to the scenario guy then. So you cut his hours.
I mean, realistically, if performance isn't there, it would be heart wrenching. I mean, it's a nonprofit.
Yeah. Right. So. That's the part that I'm thinking about is that it's a nonprofit.
I mean, my first thought would be, how do we get this guy the funds in order to do it? I mean, it's hard again to put total pressure if I'm the sole person making the decision to say, hey, I'm going to raise all this money for you. Obviously, that's a huge commitment from someone to someone else.
See, and that was my first thought. As a nonprofit, they have to be doing something where they're benefiting humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to start at home before anywhere else.
Absolutely.
And so it's right there in front of you. So I don't know if I would fire him. Maybe I'd give him a different job.
Okay.
Something he can do from home or from the hospital that's not so taxing, that can still keep his salary because it brings in whatever.
That's a good idea.
Maybe. Part of that new position might be to train someone to take your job.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what I would do. I wouldn't completely fire him, but I would laterally move him.
I would say if he's incapable completely,
yeah,
it's kind of a different story.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But like, I would probably say, hey, I'm going to give you this much salary for this much time. See how you're doing. But realistically, if you're incapable of doing any work, we can't just support. Like, we have to put our money towards a nonprofit.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a business.
Yeah.
Right. So you can help to give the resources, but that's a tough one.
Definitely.
Because you don't want to be a dick.
Yeah. Right? Plus, it's just like, you want to help this guy out, like, especially because he's a sole provider for his family.
Yeah.
Because, like, what the fuck is his family going to do?
Yeah, I know, right?
And you're saying we're starting off easy.
Yeah. We're starting off easy. All right. Here's another one for you. This one might be a little easier. Every day, your commute back home requires you to exit from a 2-lane road onto a freeway. To do so, you must be in the right lane. But the right lane backs up for 2 miles, adding 20 minutes to your daily commute. You're tempted to stay in the left lane, which moves more quickly, and then right before the freeway on-ramp, cut ahead of the cars that have been waiting for 20 minutes. Do you cut in?
See, I have two points of view on this.
Okay. All right.
One is that, especially in Los Angeles, people are poor drivers. So one perspective is, if I went up, someone's probably going to be on their phone, not be in the spot and I can just cut right in, no problem. The thing is, I also hate when people are the people who are especially going in the breakdown lane for a little bit of time. And I'm like, I see you coming to fucking cut in here. Goddamn. Like, you can't just do that.
No, so you can't.
If I'm really in a rush, if it's just time, I would say no. But if it's something that I have to get to important, I probably would.
This is a tough one for me because it's more about your personal view towards other people's time, right?
Absolutely.
Because I'm a pretty considerate driver. I'm not one that, you know, I don't drive like a grandma, but like I let people in. You know, it's we're going the same place.
Yeah.
No one's going to get there that much faster. But at the same time, if you cut me off, I get kind of pissed off.
I feel that.
Like it happened today. I was waiting at the gas station pump and this lady just like zoomed in front of me.
Oh, I would be like, livid.
And I just
opened
the door and stood out. And as soon as she got out, I was like, you mind? You didn't see me waiting here. And her husband got out of the car and he's like, oh, and I'm like, no, why don't you guys just scoot up? That other car's leaving. You can keep that space in front of you, but come on now. He's like, oh, okay, okay. But I wonder if that other car hadn't been moving, how that would have played out.
My thought process is, do they, because this happens to me sometimes, and I'm like, do they honestly mistake it?
I don't, maybe.
Because I'm like, I can understand maybe every once in a while I do fuck up. I'll be like, oh, I fucked up, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll fix it. Do they not realize that they're doing
it? Maybe. But I think for this scenario, I think I just stay in the right lane. Unless the only thing that I think would make me cut in front of them is if like I'm late to pick up my boys or something from school.
Yeah.
That I'm like, whatever you guys got going on, this is more important for me right now. But right, it's putting yourself in other people's shoes.
You're saying basically my time's more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
pretty much.
The worst is when you see 10 people do it and I'm like, oh, you guys.
Yeah, come on, you guys.
Come on. I can understand if like you understand the roads better, because sometimes I know where stuff's going to be and I can tell people are not from here.
Yes.
Or like I'm not even from here, but
yeah.
I'm like, I know this lane's going to be here and I can go in there.
Yeah, no. There's right here on the 210, there's this right where it goes from the 210 to the 134 to 110 split. It's like no one knows how to drive it. And it's like, if I just stay in this left lane, I can easily cut over to the right because it's going to open up because people are going to be switching back and forth and I don't need all that crap.
Exactly.
All right. So next one here. You sell Chevys. You're a used car salesman.
Okay.
You got a client who comes up and they're deciding between, you know, a Chevy or a Mazda. And the client tells you that reliability is the number one thing for them choosing a car. They are like, they hate going to work if their car doesn't start or there's some sort of vulnerability and they don't want to be, you know, sitting on the side of the road waiting for a tow truck. They think the Chevy is more reliable than the Mazda because, you know, built Chevy strong, right?
Yeah,
Chevy.
Brand name.
But you think they're wrong, but you're not sure. You think it might actually be Mazda, but you just aren't sure. You're thinking about checking the consumer reports and letting the customer know about what you find. Do you actually check it? Do you sway them if it is Mazda, or do you just say, hey, you want the Chevy? That's what we're going to get you.
I mean, I would check them and I would be straight up with them because that's something that, I mean, I've gone through buying cars and I mean, I look into it a lot myself, so I'd probably try to find the answer myself.
Nice.
But I can't stand when people are not truthful about something as simple as if I could look it up myself and I look it up and I realize you lie to me, like, what kind of business is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would look it up. I would actually print it out and show it to them and be like, hey, this says this, make your own decision. This is why I like this car. And I would tell my honest truth and say, if you want something smaller or more fuel efficient or whatever, like these are the stats.
Yeah.
And you can decipher. I personally like this for X reason.
See, and I like that. And I like the fact that I've always said, if you don't know something, I'm more inclined to rock with you if you tell me, like, I don't know, but let me look into that and I'll get back to you on it. If a car salesman was to say, you know what, hold on 1 second, let me double check that for you. Actually, it's the other thing. I would respect that car salesman and believe their honesty moving forward in the rest of our transaction.
Okay.
The other side of the coin, though, is the customer would never know until they looked it up themselves or drove off the lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also a customer's responsibility to understand what they're doing.
Very true.
I mean, if you look into it, there's so many psychological things, especially in the whatever past of advertisements, like getting people to get shit. That's just not good for them.
Yeah.
It's like, it's ethically not correct, but you can't, as a consumer, blame something for false. Like, you have to know. You have to figure it out.
Ignorance is not an excuse.
Exactly.
There you go. I think we're both on the same page on this one.
It's like if you go to another country and you don't know their laws and you break a law. Oh, I didn't
know.
Yeah, it's like.
Okay, so let's say you're kind of a soft-skilled employee, and you've kind of gotten by on just being well-liked, organized, just kind of doing, you know, the least amount possible, but making sure that everybody kind of likes you.
Yeah.
Now you get laid off and you start looking for work, and it's been about 10 months and you've gotten no offers because you have no real hard skills.
Yeah.
And you've gone through all your savings. You're unable to pay rent and you got to move back in with your parents.
Yikes.
And you would, you know, have to, let's say you got kids, maybe your kids would have to come out of school and go to a different school. You got to get on unemployment. Shit. And you see a job that is something that you would really, really like to do, but you don't have the skills to do that. Do you fudge your resume to get yourself a seat in the interview?
That's an interesting question. I personally, I haven't done that. And I've seen people who have skewed their resumes to make it seem like they do a lot more than they actually do.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I go into interviews, I'm very brutally honest of what I thought of past positions. And I feel like I definitely haven't gotten some jobs because
right.
of it. So for me, I wouldn't fudge my resume. But it's a little bit different. I mean, my thought is, what are the skills and what do you need to do to learn them?
Yes.
Because you can take steps to learn certain things. If you really like the job that much, you do whatever you can to learn the skills to do the job.
Right.
Because even if you got the job and didn't have the skills, what would you do? How would you do the job?
How would you do it?
You'd just get fired again.
Yeah. Well, they always say yes, yes, yes. And even if you don't know and... you know, quickly learn it to be able to do it.
Yeah, but
it does depend on the job, right? Like, I'm not going to learn how to be a helicopter mechanic through YouTube. Like, it's just not going to happen, right?
Yeah, like, that's true.
But, you know, if it was maybe coding and there's these softwares where you can learn how to code basic stuff, maybe.
Or, like, Excel skills. Yeah.
You know,
like, there are resources to learn some of that. Or, like, SQL.
Yeah. I would say, yes, I would fudge my resume. The only thing that I think would keep me from doing it is my fear of a question in the interview that I would not be able to answer.
Right?
Like they bring up some aspect that like everyone for this job should know. And I have no fucking clue what the acronym is or what they're talking about. And then you can't bullshit your way out of that one. You know what I mean?
I could see that. I mean,
so that would be my only fear. Now, the good thing is, and this is a tip for anybody listening who's going out to interview for a job. There's a way to ace every interview you've ever gone on in your life.
How so?
You get the interviewer to start talking about themselves and you let them do most of the talking. Everybody loves to talk about themselves, whether they say so or not. It's an opportunity to tell your story. So if someone is sharing with them about themselves, what they do, and you are genuinely interested, that's the key part. You got to be genuinely interested, right? They will walk out of there feeling like they just made a best friend and they don't know a goddamn thing about you.
So my question is, what if they don't like what they do that much?
Well, that's when you start picking things around the office. Like, oh, I see you got a Notre Dame pendant. Did you watch the game the other day?
Okay.
Or like, oh, you got kids. I got kids too, man. It's rough, right? Sometimes being a parent, get them talking about shit that has nothing to do about the job.
I feel.
Just let them ramble.
Because I'm always like, why do you guys like this? And they're like, you know, like, I don't know.
That's a good question.
What's happening? And I'm always like, I love finance. And they're like, whoa, like derivatives.
All right, so next one. And this one's pretty straightforward example. Your coworkers routinely pad their expense accounts. Do you blow the whistle?
You know, I think that it's each person's responsibility to do it themselves.
Okay.
I think that if I'm the boss and I see it happening, I would be like, dude, are you fucking serious? Like,
right.
Me, myself, I mean, I have business expenses and it's pretty easy to make a lot of things business
right,
expenses.
Yeah.
But if you're doing something like I like working and I work a lot, so or whatever, driving to work is a business expense, right?
Right.
So like if I'm driving to work all the time, like 6 days a week or something, and I spend one day to go drive somewhere else, I would estimate it to say, hey, a large majority of the gas I spend. And so if I have it on my credit card, something, it's like $1,000, I would say 90% of the time I'm going to work when I'm driving.
Yeah. Okay.
I won't map it out per mile. Whatever. I would, cause that's just a hassle for me. It spends more time. Like realistically, I would rather do 10% less and just have to deal with the shit.
And for me, I think it matters about where you are in terms of, is it affecting your bottom line? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the boss, obviously you're like, what the fuck, man? But if you're just a colleague and it's not taking away from my money, I don't really think it's my business to get into. So I think I would leave it alone. But I will say this, because I think it goes to a bigger point on whistleblowing, which is something I try to tell some of the folks that I supervise or work with or teach is, if there is a situation that's going to affect you, try to resolve it the informal route of going and talking to that fucking person. Don't just go run over to the boss and be like, this person's doing this, that person's doing that. Even if you're right, all it's going to do is ostracize you from the group.
And makes tension.
Yeah. And even if you think that makes you get closer to the boss, quite frankly, if I'm the boss, nah, that doesn't, like, I appreciate it, but I don't want that person on my team.
Yeah. My first question is, well, did you talk to them about the problem?
Did you say anything?
No. Well, then how would you expect anything to be changed?
Right.
Like, the first step is talking to them to fix the problem. And then if nothing happens, like.
All right. Here's a tough one for you. Maybe it's not so tough.
Okay.
I've got my answer for it. You've got stage 4 cancer. Poor quality of life.
Damn.
Do you off yourself, or we can even make it less gruesome, do you pull the plug?
I probably would.
Yeah.
I'm pretty young, so I guess this could change. But the only reason I wouldn't want to is for emotional support for my family, but eventually I'm going to die anyway, especially if I'm in that circumstance. I mean, I personally think that most people, when they think about that scenario, are thinking about other people and how they are thinking about what's going on. And I think that if I'm going through a bunch of pain and I can't do any of the things that I loved in my life, there's no reason to try to get through it, especially if it's a very consistent, long pain.
And it's pain for others, and it's a lot of money and drawn out.
Oh, absolutely.
So all of my loved ones know, if I ever get to the point where, like, I need 24-hour assistance,
I can't even be your own voice.
Yeah, right? Like, if it's to the point where, like, someone always has to care for me, go rent me a cabin in the woods, drop me off with all of my favorite vices, leave me there with some food and water, and come back and check once a month, see how I'm doing. If I'm still alive, say hey and spend the day, and then head back out, dropping off more stuff, and just let me have my time out in the wilderness by myself enjoying. Because I wouldn't want to be a burden on anybody else. And I don't want to live a life hooked up to machines.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't want that.
I think the only thing about that is, and this is because of my mom always worries about me. And so I feel like my family, being my family, would want to check up on me. They're how you doing? I'm like, I'll be like, come whenever you want. But like, I'm doing me. The only thing is, if something were to happen, they would be like, oh, we have to do something. I'm right like, now, guys, come on. Right? Just let me chill.
All right. This next one is a throwback. Hmm. And it's actually based off actual events in Rosewood, Florida, in 1923. So I guess we have to put ourselves in the position of the 1920s.
Okay.
So it's 1923, and the sheriff of a Central Florida town is protecting a suspect of a violent crime against an angry mob who want to capture him. If the mob is frustrated, the mob's probably going to riot, destroy a bunch of buildings in the town, maybe even kill some folks on accident. Who knows?
Yeah.
But there will be a huge riot. The sheriff could easily resolve the situation by just handing over the suspect to the riot, and they disappear off into the night. As the sheriff, do you turn that person over, even if nobody would know in the legal world?
Oh, that's tough.
That's a tough one, right?
I mean, being the 1920s, I don't think it would come back to you either way.
Yeah, 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 right?
So, I mean, I would think I would try to rationalize the situation, see it, get as much information as I could as fast. And then I would be like, hey, well, if this guy fucked up and told me that he fucked up, like, I know, I'll be like, you know what? This is on you. But if it was like, and this is also kind of, I guess, weird as well, because I don't know, if it was a child or if it was a woman, I'd more likely to be like protective of them just because of my thought process as, I don't know, a dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's, I would be more likely to be like, oh, you're a guy, like, you fucked up, your fault. Like, you're a whatever 25-year-old man or 40-year-old man, like, good luck. But if it's someone else.
I mean, I think it would, I know that 1920s wasn't the Wild West, but when I hear sheriff, I think of, you know, cowboy boots and horses. That's true. Right? I'm thinking if I've been sworn to uphold the law.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking just me, myself.
Yeah, me.
If I was the sheriff, I mean, like, your name is ruined if you fuck up, too.
So, I think I would protect a prisoner, but at the same time, it would probably really depend on the crime they committed.
The thing is, you don't know.
Yeah.
Because they're running. What if they did nothing? What if the people just hate them?
Yeah. So, I mean...
You'd feel so bad after if you figured that out.
Yeah, so... That's a tough one. I think I would just take the cautious route and protect them. But I know that if the mob burned down the fucking city, probably or wouldn't live there for the rest of the time. Right? Yeah, right?
Before they fucking... They're like, okay, well, we're a mob. You're one dude. Good luck.
Here's an interesting one. You run an orphanage and you've had a hard time making ends meet. A car dealership offers you a new van worth $15,000. And they say they'll give it to you for free, but they want you to report that the donation on your charity and your taxes is that the van is worth $30,000.
Interesting.
Now, you really need the van
for
these kids to get them to doctor's appointments, to take them to different places, to just let them experience a little more life.
Yeah.
But again, you're fudging the tax documents saying that it's worth $30,000 when it's only worth $15,000.
So... Me personally,
do you take the van?
I 100% would take the van.
I totally would. Too. I would be like, I'm dealing with orphans, man.
And I don't really like. Honestly, I think the private sector is better at dealing a lot of things than the government. So that's a personal dislike of the government and their inefficiencies.
No, I would totally take the van too. Like, there's not even a question about that one.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, you guys get, you know, great tax break, and we got a fucking van for free to drive the orphans around. I think everybody would do that. I don't know who wouldn't if you're running an orphanage.
Yeah, I think it would be a bad call to not take that van.
So, you are a caregiver or nurse for a elderly man.
Okay.
Now, this elderly man is being hospitalized, but he's requested that you continue to take care of him. Throughout the time towards his death, he starts to slowly, we'll say, lose his mind.
Okay. Dementia?
Well, let's. It's not so much that he is forgetful in any kind of way, or he's just starting to become extremely negative, pessimistic.
Okay.
He's starting to hate everything, right? Like, because he's fucking scared that he's going to die.
Yeah, he's
right?
getting old.
And he's got this large family, and he's got a ton of money. And he decides, for whatever reason one day, how pissed off he is at the world and everyone else, that, and this is towards the end when, like, the mind's really going,
okay,
that he's going to change his will.
Oh, shit.
And write everybody out of the will, which he had set everyone up for life to do great things, giving them monetary backing. And he's decided for you to sit down, draft up the will for him. The day after you guys draft the will, where he's taking everybody out of the will and his family, he passes away. Do you present the new will to the attorney, or do you tuck that in your pocket and let the old will ride?
Well, if there was something... like electronically done, or it's in some system that they would find it anyway, I would have to.
Right.
I would be like, hey, otherwise I'm on the line. But if there was nothing connecting anything and it was just a signature, I would totally shred it.
Yeah.
100%. Because, like, his family can do great things.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I guess it shouldn't be my place to say, but... if I were to really look into it and kind of see that it was what you're saying, he's going mad, he is not liking life, whatever, like, he's just doing it for selfish reasons, and I could see the potential of, especially his family, having that capital and doing good things, it would be no question for me to shred that.
Okay. I think I'm with you on this. I just don't know. I don't know, like, you wouldn't be able to see it, you know, or predetermined or be able to see the future and say like, all right, did this family member take the money they were given and actually do something with it? Yeah. Or did they go and blow also, it on like hookers and cocaine? Right.
Well, like, also like think about bad people with a lot of money can do a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would have to be kind of a quick decision analyzing the thought process of the family.
Yeah.
I would have to speak with them before I present. I would be like,
ooh, I like that. Have a conversation like, with
let
them.
Let me see what I think about, because they don't know.
Yeah, they don't know.
So it'd be like, let me see what I think of these people. And maybe that's not right. But then I can have a judgment and be like, oh, by the way, like, because if they're bad people, I can be like, hey, fuck you guys.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Here's the will. It's like, too bad for you. It's already in place.
Well, and that goes back to our original conversation on ethics versus morals, right? Like, ethically, I'm supposed to turn this in.
Yeah.
Morally, do I do it if I know he wasn't in the best state of mind?
Yeah.
Like, if my friend told me something when he was super wasted, do I then go share that with his spouse or go share that with another buddy? Or is it just like a, hey man, like this came out of your mouth last night. Like, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, I've definitely seen that quite a bit. I think it's more of a, I'm thinking it depends on also the people who are getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I see that they are not good people, my decision isn't about more so it's, I don't want them to get the money, even though it's the right thing to do to present the will in quotes, legally, I would be like, well, you're not going to do good things. You don't deserve it anyway.
And I'm with you, but I wonder, does that put us in the position of being the judger?
It does. And
is that ethically or?
I mean, it's not legally correct.
It's not.
So I would say ethically is wrong if you're thinking ethically.
What about morally?
But morally, I think that's, if you see that it'll do harm to people, if they're like, have a petition to like,
yeah, okay,
like this money's going to kill people.
Right.
Like,
yeah. No.
Then
okay.
I'd be like, no, fuck you. Yeah. I don't care that much. Like, I'd rather people live than you have this will. Whatever.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, cool. Okay. Quick fire answers.
Okay.
You can only rescue one of each of the following.
Okay.
Which do you save? A child or an adult?
Child.
Me too. Child. A stranger or a dog? Or your dog?
Probably a stranger.
Me too. I know that there are a lot of dog lovers and they think, you know, all animals are and species are equal. And I'm sorry, but I'd save a human before I would save a dog.
I'm thinking literally term of lifespan.
Yeah. Like, okay.
The person, especially if they're young, has so much more time to do things.
I like that.
And they have more cognitive ability.
Okay.
So that being said, if it's someone
who... You approached that way better than I did. I was just like, human over dog, fuck it.
I mean, that being said, if it's like my dog or one of my family members' dogs and I've seen how it helped someone get through cancer or some shit.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Then it would be harder.
Okay, so what about your spouse or a Nobel laureate?
My spouse.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have a tough time with this one. Not because I don't love my spouse, but because if this Nobel laureate was maybe doing something to like change the world, but then my spouse may be changing the world of my world and my children's world. I know I'm supposed to say my spouse.
I think the reason, and it's selfish and not selfish, is because she's helping me be mentally stable and I okay. want to be able to do a lot of things for other people. And if I'm not in a state of mind that I can't do things as well for others.
Yeah, I know at the end of the day I would go with my spouse, but I definitely would bring that shit up jokingly often.
I picked you. You right? better be thankful. Or if she fucks up, oh, I should have picked the other dude.
All right, here's one. Your entire family or an entire canine species? An entire species of canine.
Or just a family.
Or just your family.
I would probably, just my family?
Your family.
Oh, shit. Oh, I don't know, man. I was going to say just a family. Like, yeah, dude, dogs live. But just my family? Oh, shit. I feel like I would have to converse with my family on their thoughts. Because I would say if it was canine species versus my life, I could take my life. But I can't really make that decision for them.
See, and I'm thinking less on my personal feelings of it. I'm thinking more about the evolutionary balance. Like if you wipe out a species,
True.
Does that fuck something up as opposed to, like, you know, maybe 10 people passing away? Because people pass away every second. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know what happens if all dogs were to die tomorrow.
That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
Right? Like, I know there's some things, I've heard analogies, like if, I don't know, what is it? If
bees.
Or yeah, if all mosquitoes. The bees were gone or mosquitoes, like it would just fuck up and make everything so imbalanced.
See, that, the thing is, would it though?
Yeah, I don't know, right?
Like,
yeah.
And I can't say one way or the other because I have no idea.
Yeah. I think I would save my family.
I would save my family, but if that it was just me, I would let myself die.
Okay. And that, but that goes back to me putting humans above dogs. So fuck it, whatever.
I mean, cognitive ability.
Yeah, right? There you go. Okay. A bottle with the cure for cancer or your brother who just gave you one of his kidneys.
Oh shit. I would probably pick cancer for the cure cancer.
Yeah.
I think you so, save I a lot too. More people. Wait, what was the other one?
Even? Your brother who just gave you his kidney.
What, save him though?
Yeah, save him okay. Or save this bottle, the bottle that has a cure okay. For cancer.
I would say, hey, bro, it's for the humanity.
Like, yeah.
I love my brother and all, but...
here's your kidney back.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for letting me borrow it. Yeah, I mean, my dad's been doing a lot of cancer research, and I would hope that if that same scenario happened... or same question were to come up with me, someone would choose curing cancer right. And saving my life. And I hope my brother would understand that that's what I think towards him.
Yeah.
Because ultimately it would save a lot more people, well, even in our own family.
Yeah, save one or save the million.
Yeah.
Save the million, I would think. Now I've got one more that's a question as opposed to a scenario. And then I want to get to your question that you sent me through text message for this. This is an interesting question that... I'm not sure if it necessarily goes more towards the ethical or the moral side. I think it'll hash itself out as we discuss it. Why punish attempted murder less than murder?
That's an interesting question.
That's a really fucking interesting question, right?
I disagree with that. I think that the intent to further it out should be punished the same.
Right.
The only thing is, like, realistically, you just did a bad job.
You did. Like, you got caught or you messed up.
I mean, and if anything, that could almost cause more suffering and pain for someone. Because imagine you fuck up or like you try to murder someone and then they are saved for a while. They live for a couple days and then they die. You're causing so much trauma and pain more so.
Yeah.
So I think it should be punished the same. But I also have like, I also think that like, people say for the death penalty, you get injected, whatever, painless. I think that if you do something worthy of the death penalty, like it should be a low cost. Just like get, honestly, just a bullet.
A firing squad?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that ethically is a little immoral. Which
yeah.
Is
yeah, no. Well, it was interesting. There was, I think it was in the state of Texas. They had a law that was under where that inmate had found where if you are, you know, given the death penalty and it's time for you to meet your maker, you get to choose
I like that.
How you want to die. And he chose being stoned to death. And they were like, whoa, wait a minute. Wow. Like, we got to fucking like hold the horses, put this guy back in jail. Wow. Let's figure out this legislation. And, you know, it was kind of a thing. They were like, what the fuck do we do?
Like, I thought you meant between like the...
No, like they were just like however you want to go. You know what I mean?
Just choose.
And that's he was like, nuts. I want to be stoned to death. And because that was a way in which, you know, killings occurred back yeah. In the day.
Or
so,
pressed to death.
Yeah. So for me, I agree. I don't think attempted murder should be given less sentence than murder or prosecuted any less harshly. But then it does raise a different question, right? With, and maybe it's not analogous for some, but then if you're going to punish attempted murder the same as murder, because it's essentially the same intent.
Yeah.
Then you would also have to punish someone who stole $1,000 the same you would as someone who stole $100,000. Right?
I see that thought process, but I think that it's a different scale.
Because you're taking life as opposed to taking paper.
Yeah. Because it would be like, think about it, the difference of taking a hand versus taking a life.
Okay. Okay.
You take a hand, you don't kill someone. Even if, say, you're just your intent is, I'm going to take your hand from you.
Yeah.
Like, you're leaving them alive.
Yeah,
whatever true. The scenario may be. and that might be a weird way to analyze it, but.
Well, I have heard too that, and this is just a weird fucking fact that I know. if you intentionally shoot someone kneecap to below, they cannot charge you with attempted murder.
Wow.
Because you're shooting somewhere where the likelihood that you will die from that wound is just damn near impossible.
Wow, that's fascinating.
So it's just assault.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it can be assault with a deadly weapon, but it's not attempted murder.
Is that federal?
I think it is, but I don't know. It's an interesting thing because as soon as I heard it, I was like, holy shit.
Well, that changes my idea. So if I mean, granted, I would never have a gun in my hand.
Yeah, not me either. Yeah.
But if for some reason someone's like going to stab someone I know or do something, like it gets me legally out of
being
on front for attempted murder.
Yeah. So
or just shoot him in the foot.
Yeah. And I do like the fact that you mentioned human life holds more value than money. Right. So stealing 1,000 versus 100,000 is not the same as attempting to kill someone or actually being able to complete it. OK, so let's get to this last question here. Now, this is the question that you sent me to spark me looking up these ethical scenarios. And I want to get to this question because I want to hear your answer and I want to give my answer as well.
So the question I had is, if you disagree with someone's morals or the way they present themselves, but you know that they have the ability to make it easier for you to reach your goals or vision, do you use them to help you get to your end goal, or do you take a more difficult and uncertain route to get there?
So I've been letting you answer all of them first. I'm going to answer this one.
Okay.
I think it depends more upon what you mean by the term use them. Because there's value in going somewhere and being a part of an organization or a company that is shitty or not doing things right and working and seeing. And especially if you have a vision for something greater, because you know, you're not going to be there anyways. Mm-hmm. So maybe you see the way not to do it. You see the pitfalls or the things that you never want to do. And I wouldn't necessarily get involved with some of the things. So I do see value in doing some jobs that you don't necessarily want to do. If you have a greater vision in mind to support that vision. So if I'm thinking of using them in that term, then yes. If it's where I have to lie, cheat, steal, manipulate everything, I say no. Just because even if I reached my goal, and quite frankly, I hate the word authentic, but it wouldn't be my authentic vision. It wouldn't be worth the outcome. I feel like at the end of the day, maybe I get to where my vision is, but if I've hurt a lot of people along the way, how sustainable is that? And then what skill have I mastered?
Yeah.
That I will just continue to do. And quite frankly, I'm a firm believer that shit will come back around to you.
So I guess more of what I meant is not using them as in, leading them astray in a path. I meant using a vehicle that they have themselves already and almost pretending to be more of a part of something than you are, even if, or maybe that's a bad way to say it. Like, it's like, say you are an awesome basketball player, but football season's first, and you know that if you're on the football team, you're highly likely to be on the basketball team for some reason.
Okay.
Do you pretend to be part of the team of that football team and try your hardest, even though you could do well for them, but just because you want to be on the basketball team?
Gotcha.
Because your mental commitment isn't in the idea of football, but you know that's what will drive you to get to where you want to be. And ultimately, you are helping the football team because you're a good athlete.
Okay. My thought is, don't we already do that with a whole bunch of other shit?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We might go to a school and bust our ass and utilize all their resources, even though maybe we don't like the professors, we don't like the social climate, we don't like the place that we're at, but it gets us a degree to put us in a certain position.
I didn't even think about it that way. That's crazy. Because I was thinking, when I'm going through school, it's not for them anyway. It's not for their benefit at all. It's only for mine.
I always have in the back of my mind, the school has to benefit from you somehow.
It's right? Like, money.
Yeah. Right? And so like, well, it was interesting growing up. I went, you know, my last 3 years of high school was at a very affluent high school, private high school. And my mom would always say, cause we didn't pay any money. We had financial aid. And she was like, they are using you for a quota, a diversity quota.
Yeah.
That's okay. You use them for this great education and get to college for free. And I was like, okay, you use me, I'll use you. But I'll still be genuine and have fun here. But you better believe I have my eyes wide open as to why I'm here.
And what's going on.
Yeah. So, that's interesting. And I mean, hell, you can even break it down to a relationship, right? How many people get themselves in a position or maybe join a club so that they can be next to someone they're interested in dating? Because that's their real end of gold.
So my question is, should you be upfront about that idea that you have, even though your idea is to give to them and take from them in order to get somewhere else? Do you share that idea with the person because you want to be honest with them?
I would say yes, but that's only thinking about if someone shared that with me.
Okay.
Because if someone shared that with me, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
So me, I'm like, oh, you want to do this other dope shit? Like, let's work together so that you can do that and I can do what I want to do.
At the end of the day, like, if I have anybody who would be working for me in a company, I would always ask them, what's your ultimate vision and goal? And don't give me some bullshit answer if it's to make this company grow. Like, no, you have something you want to do. Maybe it's climb Mount Everest. Maybe it's fucking go, you know, write a three book fantasy sci-fi novel.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do everything to make sure that that's worth, you're doing a great job here, but it's setting you up to do that.
Yeah. I like that.
I don't want you here for fucking 40 years. Right? Like, I want you here to do what you're here to do and do it really fucking well and then go off and do your thing.
Yeah.
But that, I don't think a lot of bosses are like that.
I don't either. I think a lot of bosses are, can you get the shit done that we need you to in a timely manner.
Yeah. Well, I would still be about that. Can you still get the shit done in a timely manner? But when you don't have to get this shit done at the moment, we can have a conversation about you climbing Mount Everest. I can be like the boss who'd be like, oh, you know, so what's happening with this meeting thing? What's happening with this report over here? What's happening with this? Cool, cool. Everything checked, all answers. Have you checked out how many days it takes to climb to Mount Everest yet?
I like that.
That's a boss I would want to fucking work for.
I think if I were to be someone of a caliber with a lot of employees underneath me, I would want it. I want to get people to understand my thought process on a personal level. So I would take some time, depending on how big my company is or how many employees, I would be like, hey, we're going to spend some time just not doing work. But I wouldn't tell them. Because people, when they work, and it's like, oh, come to this company event, they never want to.
No.
Because they're like, oh, I'd rather be spending time with my family.
Right.
Oh, so I'd be like, they're expecting to come and work. And I'd be like, okay, we're not working.
Yeah.
And they would be like, they'd be pumped instead of disappointed because it's a company event.
Nobody wants to fucking have pizza in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Like. So I'd be like, okay, instead of working, I'm going to give you guys a, like, surprise, right? You don't have to work. Let's do something and get to know each other or whatever. Like,
So then what's your answer to it then? Would you be upfront and honest, or would you just write it for your own personal mission or vision?
I mean, it depends on their personal moral opinions.
Okay.
I think it's hard for me to even be a part of something if I know will mutually benefit. If the person who's doing something doesn't believe in equal rights or even because everybody has different opinions. And ultimately I think that a lot of things that harm a lot of society is arrogance and ignorance.
Very true.
And so that really turns me off when I see people, even if they do know a lot, to be arrogant or ignorant. And ignorant, obviously that doesn't make sense.
But. Yeah. Yeah. No, I went to you,
but, like, to think you know everything about anything is unrealistic.
Yeah.
There's always going to be someone who knows more about something than you do. And that goes also to learning from children, is a lot of the times they don't understand, but that's why you can learn from them.
Right.
And a lot of people are just like, oh, because X, Y, or Z, I know. Because I've looked into this one thing, I know. Because whatever, it's like, unless you have all the facts, which you can't have all the facts to anything. Like, you don't know everything. You have to be open to other ideas. And I'm one to especially be pretty hot-headed about my own opinions.
At right, times. Yeah.
But being able to understand someone else's opinion, and even if you disagree, see where they're coming from is very important. And I lose a lot of respect from those who don't think in the way of their actions and how they affect other people.
Well, I like it because I think it wraps this up nicely with respect to ethics, morality, motivation. I think what I hear you really saying is honest and open communication, even if some of our perspectives, morals, or ethics don't align.
Absolutely.
Because if we're honest and open up front and we know where that misalignment is, we can realign, or we can accept that those won't ever be aligned.
Yeah, and there'll be no surprises.
Right?
And no deception.
And no disappointment.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Liam, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was a lot of fun. Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I
had a good time. Well, I appreciate you coming on. This was a lot of fun going through the ethical scenarios as well as just kind of having a discussion. To me, this type of shit is fascinating.
Absolutely. Same with me.
It's just conversation. So don't forget to subscribe and start collecting your loose change. And as always, change is inexorable. Make it significant. Thank you for listening to Loose Change, brought to you by Renaissance Behavior and hosted by Dr. Antonio Harrison. You can check out some more cool stuff on the website, rebirthbx.com. That's rebirthbx.com. All social media at rebirthbx. Check out the YouTube channel giving parenting tips. And keep an eye on articles and blogs coming out every so often. So make sure to subscribe and start collecting your loose change.